Our scripture this evening comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're going to be reading from verses 10 through 18. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is God's word offered to us in his reading and his hearing. Thanks be to God. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Gracious God, I'm humbled by the task of proclamation that you place before me. I ask that you would make me low in this place so that your Son, Jesus Christ, and his birth might be lifted high in our presence. Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes that we would see, our ears that we would hear, open our minds to come to know and understand your word and your will, open our hearts that we would feel its power. By your grace, I ask that you would open our hands, that we would faithfully serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think it's so interesting how accessible music is today. And that my children will never know the difficulty of hearing or listening to music. And for that matter, that I really can't comprehend it in ways that generations past have. The reason why I say this, I was at my mom's house, and I was looking at some of my mom's antiques. Now, these are generation after generation antiques. And there on the top of her piano is an Edison player. And if you've never seen one, it has a big horn that opens up into a bowl, and there's a kind of a square box, and there's a place where you insert this kind of cylindrical tube, and then you wind it up, and it plays music. And I remember when my great-granny Mike used to talk about this Edison player and how her family was one of the very first families to receive this music player, and how all of the neighbors would come from miles away in order to listen to music, and how she used to love watching the face of her friends listen to music coming out of nowhere for the very first time. She said that everybody had listened to music coming out of instruments. If you were to play a trumpet, or if you were to play a guitar, or if you were to play a piano, those are ways in which you could produce music. But for music to come out of a box and a horn that no one was playing was baffling to the mind and to the eye. She said her friends would just sparkle as their faces would light up as they heard music for the first time in this way. Now, before they heard music that way, it was always possible. Music, it was always able to be played that way. We just didn't know how to produce it. Just like before A-tracks and cassettes and now digital music, before all of those things, it was always possible. We just had never experienced the way that music could come forth like that. Some of you might might remember the first time you saw television in color. I remember the first time I saw television in color. I was quite young, so it wasn't as startling to me, but my parents were so proud the first time they got a color television. It was a big deal. No longer did we have the fuzzies, and you didn't have to click, 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 click the dial as you rolled around and found the station that you wanted to find. And no, there were not hundreds of stations. There were tens of stations. You remember the first time you saw television in color? Well, what's interesting is television was always able to be produced in color. We just didn't know how. It was always possible. The things that are used to produce it were always accessible. They are merely things that the hands produce, that the earth produces, all put together out of someone's imagination and vision, and then it is there before us. It's interesting how things that have not been were always able to be. Have you ever seen anything stunning that you thought it was so unbelievable, you could hardly imagine that what you were seeing was real? My geography teacher used to tell me of Niagara Falls. It's a huge waterfall on the border of Canada and the United States. And my geography teacher in ninth grade would tell me how magnificent this was, how tall it was, how wide it was, how beautiful it was, how unbelievable it was. And I just didn't really believe him. I had never seen it. I had never imagined it being real. It sounded like a fairy tale, actually. And so I just. My uncle would tell me of it as well, and he lived in Ohio, and I was on a month-long trip to see my uncle, and so my uncle said, "Well, if you don't believe it, if you think it's just some fairy tale, let's go see it." And so we took this huge trip up to Niagara Falls, and I remember as we pulled up and got out of the car, and I looked out on Niagara Falls, and I saw indeed it was that wide, and indeed it was that tall. And I was stunned. I had never seen it, yet it was always real. I couldn't believe it, and yet when I saw it, it was entirely believable. When Lauren and I were in seminary, we lived in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was a great season of life, and we were blessed with a surprise and a blessing, the news that Lauren was pregnant in my second year of seminary. Now, we were a little stunned. We were quite scared. We were utterly intimidated. I was a mere baby, some 20 years old at the time. Lauren says, no, I wasn't. Okay, I was like 23. She was born when I was 24. But a storyteller needs to exaggerate a little bit, right? When we were in seminary, I remember Lauren continued to show signs that she was pregnant, and evidently pregnancy stinks. You know, she was tired, and she was hungry for odd things, and she would have stomach issues at odd times. You know. And I didn't get why all of this was happening. I had never seen a baby before. And I remember on June 24th of 2004, we went to the hospital. We rushed there. And after hours and hours and hours of labor, Addison was born. And I remember the moments that I had with Addie in the hospital. And Lauren was in recovery, and so these were very intimate, very personal moments just between the two of us. And I held her in my arms, and I held her up so that she could see me and so that I could see her, and it was interesting. It seemed as though she recognized me. And as I held her, I rocked her back and forth, and I was singing songs to her, and she would smile at me. And after a few moments, she just kind of leaned into my chest, and I held her, and she fell asleep, and tears rolled down my face. You remember those moments? The very first time you saw your child? What's interesting is, before I even saw Addie, Addie was real. Before I held her in my arms, before I sang songs to her, before I wept in that moment, she was my daughter. There was nothing that could happen that would make her not my daughter. She was not visible, yet she was absolutely real. Whenever we think about Christmas, it's hard to imagine what the people of Israel were doing as they waited for years, for decades, for centuries, as they waited for lifetime after lifetime after lifetime for the coming of the Messiah. They yearned, they desired so deeply for the ability to have a relationship with God, to see God, to know God. And what was fascinating is God kept sending messengers. God sent Noah, and God sent Moses, and Isaiah, and Daniel, and Elijah, and Elisha, and over again there were these messengers. And so these messengers were there, but they didn't see or know the one who sent them in that kind of personal way. They grew up learning God's Word, the Old Testament, and God's law, and they tried to live by it and live according to the law so that they might grow in holiness. And year after year, they yearned to be in relationship with God through obedience to His Word, yet they did not hear His own voice produce that Word. The people of Israel desired a relationship with God. And so, whenever Jesus came in the form of a baby, this was the first moment where God was visible, where people could see and touch and hear and encounter God through His only Son, Jesus Christ. The Scriptures tell us that the law is from Moses in verse 17. But twice the Scriptures say in verse 14 and in verse 17 that in Jesus Christ there is grace and truth. Grace and truth. In Jesus, there is the truth. The truth that God is real. That God is real and God wants a relationship with you. No longer is it just you desiring a relationship for God, but now God has proven in the form of a baby when God took on flesh that God is real and God desires a relationship with you. That is the truth of Christmas. And the grace that we have in Jesus Christ, the grace that God is love and that God has made a way through His love to build a relationship with you. He doesn't just desire a relationship with you, but He's made a way so that through His grace, every sin is forgiven. And all we have to do is approach His throne and say, God, I give my life to You. And He wraps His arms of grace and mercy around us. In Jesus, we have grace and truth. These are things that seem so simple to conceive of, but until they come in the form of the flesh, the form of the baby Jesus, they were so unbelievable. This Christmas, I invite you to move beyond that which is unbelievable and to move beyond all of the barriers you have that keep you from believing. And I invite you to meet the God who comes in a form of a baby and says, I'm real. I love you. And I am here to have a relationship with you because you are my child, my beloved. All that is what we celebrate when Jesus is born to us. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Almighty God, we rejoice that for unto us a child is born, unto us a Savior given. We know, O God, that that gift is from You, and it comes with power, with might, and that Your very presence comes to us in Your Son, Jesus Christ. So I pray, Almighty God, that as we wake up tomorrow morning and we celebrate with gifts, that we would also celebrate with loved ones the joy we have in Your Son, Jesus Christ, and His birth. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.